God's word. I ask you this morning, turn with me to John chapter number 12. Today is Palm Sunday. Today's Palm Sunday today. We know that's when Jesus entered into Jerusalem. He came in, and I want you to know that that ain't all he did on that day. So here's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the hour has come. Jesus said, the hour has come. I'm going to take a few moments and preach on that this morning. John chapter number 12, verse number 23. If you found your place, say amen. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word today. John chapter number 12 and verse number 23. Well, I tell you what, God's good to us, ain't he? Man, he's good to us. John 12, 23, the Bible says, and Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come. That's what I want to preach on. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat shall fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there also shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Our Heavenly Father, God, as we bow in your presence, Lord, we love you. And Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the ones that are here today. I thank you for the crowd, Lord. I thank you that you sent them this way. But I thank you most of all for the Holy Spirit that is in this place today. Lord, I thank you today for the move of the Holy Ghost that's here today, Father. And I pray for the next few moments that you illuminate my mind and loosen my tongue and let me preach thus saith the word of God. Lord, I'm asking you to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let everything I say be all about you and nothing about me, Father. Lord, if they be one lost today, I pray they be saved. If they one that's backslidden, I pray they rededicate their life to you and get back to where they need to be, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that the hour has come. Lord, I thank you that we're able to break bread today and preach and just preach your word like it needs to be preached, Father. Lord, I pray that you let the Holy Spirit move through this place in a mighty way. Lord, lead, guide, and direct. Lord, I pray right now for Miss Wanda Scott as she's failed this morning. Lord, I pray you be with her there at the ER in Ambry. Lord, I ask you to touch. Lord, I pray for Jerry Otch today, Father, as we've been asked to pray for him as he's there in Birmingham, Alabama. Lord, I pray you touch these folks and move on them. Lord, right now come to my mind is Rod Gillen. Lord God, I pray for him this morning. I lift him up to you in the name of Jesus, Father. Lord God, I pray you bless him and his family. Watch over him, Father, in the name of Jesus. For the next few moments, guard my throat and guard my thoughts. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. As we come this morning in the Word of God, we're going to talk about that the hour has came, that the hour has came. And this morning I want to say to you that Jesus here, he has entered into Jerusalem and people has come to see him. If you go back just one chapter, it's chapter number 11, and he has rose Lazarus from the dead. But now we come to chapter number 12, and Jesus is coming in on Palm Sunday, and they got their palm leaves, and they're hollering, Hail the King, Hosanna, and they're excited for Jesus to come. But the Bible says, that they have come to worship and desired to see Jesus. These Greek Gentiles, they've come to worship Jesus and to see Jesus. And Jesus didn't comfort them, but he confronted them with the hour that has come. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? When they come to see Jesus, he didn't lay out some word that would be comforting, but he confronted them right where they was at. And the hour that Jesus is talking about would be his terrible death that Jesus would go through on the cross of Calvary, how he would bleed and die for you and me on a cross called Calvary. But the hour that now has come, he would die for our sin. Without Jesus defeating that hour in his life, without Jesus defeating that hour, you and I would be doomed. We would be hell bound. But because Jesus died on that old rugged cross, he bled and died for you, and he bled and died for me, and he took care of that hour, we have hope this morning. But this morning I want to show you two folks that he addressed about it. Two folks that he talked about the hour that has come. And number one, I want to say to you that he addressed his followers. He addressed the ones that were going to follow him. Look what he said in verse number 23 of the text. And Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, or surely, surely. He said, I want you to get this. He said, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat shall fall into the ground and die. You say, preacher, how did he address his followers? Number one, he addressed them as a seed, even though how small it is, when it is planted and it is in the ground and it comes forth, it produces life there. And tonight, today, can I say to you that in our life, as small as I am and as small as you are, when the seed get out of the barn in the book of Haggai, I want you to know that it produces fruit. It produces what it needs to do. If we sit in this place and we never go out into a lost and dying world and tell them that Jesus bled and died on an old rugged cross, I want you to know that seed won't come to life. But once you go and you drop that seed and you plant that seed of salvation and you say that Jesus is the way, He is the truth, and He is alive, that seed will come forth. And the follower of the seed, but also a follower must die to themselves. You can't be a follower of Jesus Christ if you're not willing to die to yourself. You've got to die to old sinful desires and things that you got going on in your life. I thank God that when He said the hour has come, He said the followers will be a representative seed. Seeds, but also they must die to self. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20, the Bible said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm so thankful that I don't have to live in my own strength or in my own power. Hey, but I live in the power of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? I thank God that He addressed His followers. I thank God that He said, you'll be like a seed, but you'll have to die to yourself. And a follower must surrender to what God has called him to do. I want you to know today is Palm Sunday, but I thank God that we come in and He's not only our King, He's our Lord, He's our Savior, He's everything that we need. He said that you must surrender. Look with me in verse number 26. He said, if any man serve me, if any man's going to serve Jesus Christ, He said, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Us surrendering to God. Not no longer my will, but His will be done. Folks, I want you to know, in the world we live in, you see a lot of easy Christianity. It's just easy Christianity. You get saved, live any way you want to, and one day you'll go to heaven. You listen to me. There's nothing easy about following Jesus. There's nothing easy about Him dying on an old rugged cross. He died for you. He died for me. He died for my sin. He died for your sin. That doesn't give us a license to sin. That gives us an opportunity to tell a lost and dying world that we're a follower of Jesus Christ. You say, what does that mean, preacher? To follow Him, it means this: you go in the same direction as your leader. Jesus Christ is my leader. He's not my co-pilot. He's my pilot this morning. And He came and He said, my hour has come. I'm not talking about 60 minutes. I'm talking about an hour in His life. It was meant for Him to go to the cross. Hey, can I say to you, nobody crucified Him. You said, oh yes, the Romans, they did. We had part in it, true preacher. You listen to me. He could have called 72,000 angels and they could have come down and they could have rescued Him right there where He was at. But He went to Calvary to die for you. He went to Calvary to die for me, that I may have a home in heaven one day. Friends, can I say to you, glory, hallelujah, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. I ask you this morning, are you a follower of Jesus? If you're a follower of Jesus, you must know the hour that He's talking about. He said not only a follower is a seed that's been planted in your life and you've died to self and you surrendered, but in Psalm 5:8 the Bible says, lead me, O Lord, in Thy righteousness because of my enemies, and make Thy way straight before Thy face. This morning I say to you that He addressed His followers when the hour was to come, when He knew the hour was going to come and He was going to go to Calvary. He let His followers know, but I want you to know He didn't only address His followers, but He addressed His Father. Woo, glory. It's one thing that your followers know what's going on, but it's something totally different when you talk to your Father. I want you to look with me in this, if you will, in verse number 27. Now, this is Jesus, 100% man, 100% God. He's not only man, but He's God. He knows every infirmity you go through. He knows every feeling that you feel. He knows how it is to be took advantage of. He knows how to be. He knows what it is to be lied on, and that's why he's 100% man. The only difference in him and you today is that he went to the cross. He died for your sin. He had no sin, and he died for your sin. You listen, when he walked that life in humanity. He walked that life suffering like you and I suffer. He walked that life. You say, oh no, he got by easy because a God was his father. Oh no, my friend, he did not. He had to go through temptation. He had to go through trials. He had to go through pain. He had to go through everything that you can think of. And when he was on the cross, he said, Eli, Eli, sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I want you to know this morning, when he died on that cross, he was forsaken by God that we could have a relationship with God. You say, preacher, do you believe that? I know that. I know in the psalmist when he said in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David had no clue of what Jesus was going to go through. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hey, can I say to you, when Jesus walked through that valley of the shadow of death, Brother Lee, he didn't have no rod. He didn't have no staff. He didn't have no comforter. He had none of that. Why? Because God has turned his back on him. He's not looking on his son. He can't look on sin. He took your sin. He took my sin. And he nailed it to Calvary. First time in humanity, somebody died and God couldn't do nothing about it. He turned his back on Jesus. Friends, can I say to you, he turned his back on his son so he don't have to turn his back on me and you. Woo! Glory to God. I don't know about you, but that fires me up. To know that God turned his back on Jesus so he wouldn't have to turn his back on me. You say, do you believe that, preacher? I believe that 100%. Not only did he tell his followers, but he talked to his father. Folks, I'm telling you, there's things in my life that I can't tell nobody in this room. I can only tell my Father in heaven. Let me give you this in the book. Look with me in verse number 27. I want to show you this. The hour has come. This is right here. We're leading, and it is a Palm Sunday. He's fixing to go through the week. He's just led up to the point that he's rose Lazarus from the dead, and now it's Palm Sunday. They come in, and they want to see Jesus. And here's what Jesus said. He addressed that hour with his father. He said, Father, look what he said. Now is my soul troubled. You say, what do you mean, preacher? When he's addressing with his father, he is troubled with the hour that's at hand. The hour that he knows is coming up, he's troubled about it. There are hours in our life that we need to talk to the Father. There's hours in your life that you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trials. You don't need to go to the person that's set beside you. You need to go to the person that's above you. Woo, glory to God. Go to heaven with it. Take your problems to God. He was troubled with the hour, but also he was thinking about the hour. Look at this. When he knew he was going to the cross, he knew his time would come. 33 years, he done lived a sinless life, and now he's going to the cross. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Now he's going to the cross. Now he's going to Calvary. And look what he said. He said, my soul is troubled. I see he's troubled with the hour. And he said, and what shall I say? He's thinking about it. You said, he's thinking about it? Jesus is thinking about it? Yes, sir, 100% man. He's fixing to take on all sin of all humanity, past, present, and future. He's fixing to nail it to the cross. He's fixing to nail your sin. Even though it's over 2,000 years ago, he's taking your sin and he's taking my sin and he's nailing it to the cross. Friends, I don't know about you, but that excites me this morning to know I got somebody that loves me that much. He said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? He's troubled with the hour. He's thinking about the hour. But can I say to you, he's tormented about the hour that's coming. He knows what's in that cup. He knows what he's fixing to have to drink. He knows the wrath of God. He knows what's fixing to be poured out on him, but he loved us anyway. Look what he said. He said, what shall I say? What shall I say? Father, look what he's talking to his father. He says, Father, save me from this hour. So what do you mean? 100% God, he knew he had to go. 100% man, he wanted to be saved from it. He said, what do you mean, preacher? He was troubled with the hour. He was thinking about the hour. He was tormented with the hour. Let me give you what he was tormented with and see if this is ever applied in your life. He thought about that hour of loneliness in the garden when his disciples was asleep. Hey, am I talking to anybody this morning? There's been an hour in your life that you've been lonely. You thought somebody would never leave. You thought somebody would never die. Your hero died. Maybe your husband, maybe your daddy, maybe your friend. Somebody died, and you know that that's an eternal. They're not coming back this way. You know they're dead. They're not coming back. Jesus knew what it was to be lonely. He knew what it was to be lonely. The hour of loneliness in the garden when his disciples slept on him. He knew the hour of betrayal by one closest friend. Have you ever been betrayed by a friend? Man, you thought they was a dear friend. He's talking about an hour that he's fixing to take on the cross. He's fixing to go to Calvary, folks. Listen to me this week. He's fixing to go to Calvary. Sunday's coming. Next Sunday's coming. Easter's coming. He knows what it is to be betrayed. He knows what it is to be betrayed by a friend with a kiss. Have you ever been there? Somebody that you love, somebody that you thought the world of, and you found out they betrayed you. How did you feel? Can I say to you, Jesus felt the same way. He knows our feelings and our infirmities. The hour of loneliness in the garden when his disciples slept. The hour of betrayal by one of his closest friends. The hour when all of his disciples are going to forsake him. He said, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't have forsook him. You'd have been the first one to run off. He said, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't have forsook Jesus. There's no way I'd have left Jesus. I'm one of the biggest Jesus followers you've ever seen. If you'd have been there, you'd have run off and left him too. Folks, listen to me. Oh my gosh. The hour when Peter, he hears Peter denying him, and cussing him, saying, I don't know him. That little girl, the little damsel came and said, oh yeah, I know you by your speech. And Peter said, I don't know him. Have you ever had somebody deny you and say, I don't know him? But you got good, you know good and well they do. Man, I'm thinking about this week. What about the hour when his own people, Brother Colin, said, crucify him and release Barabbas? The same hour his own people that he came to in Jerusalem to them Jews, and they didn't want nothing to do with him. The Son of God, the one that could save them from their sin, the one that could save the whole world. John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The same one, they said, crucify him. The crowd hollered, crucify him. You be careful what crowd you follow. When they start going to get Jesus, you get away from them. You be careful with the friends you hang with. You be careful with the people you run with. You be careful with what you look at and who you talk to. You be careful because the crowd will lead you wrong. Can you imagine when he heard the crowd holler, crucify him and release Barabbas? The hour of being lashed open with a cat of nine tails, Brother Kevin. Skin ripped, slap open. Oh, can you imagine? And a crown of thorns mashed down on his head with a reed. Not only did they put it on his head, but they smote his head with the reed. Made it sure it went down into his skull, down into him. So why would he do that? Because it was his hour. And he loved you and he loved him. Oh, glory. Whew. Can you think about the hour that he knew was coming when he's talking to his father? He said, preacher, you don't know what I went through. Son, you ain't went through nothing. I ain't went through nothing. He said, you don't know what I go through, man. If you're saved, you ought to get your head up. You ought to get on shouting ground. Start telling somebody about Jesus. He took your stripes. He took my stripes. He took your crown of thorns. He took my crown of thorns. He took your nails and my, whoa, glory, whoa. He took your nails and my nails. What about the hour that Jesus is nailed to the cross for our sin? What about that hour? But what about the hour when his own father turned his back on him? God the Father turns his back on God the Son. God the Father. Folks, if you get a hold of that, you won't just live any way you want to live. You'll clean your act up. You won't clean out, you won't come out of your closet, you'll clean your closet up. You get a hold of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, man, it'll change your life. By the way, you can't be saved unless you go to Calvary. Let me go ahead and get that clear air right off the bat. You can't be saved unless you go to Calvary. You got to see the finished work of Calvary. You got to know what he died, how he died for you, how he bled for you. He didn't only address his followers, but he addressed his father. Hanging on the cross, nails drove in his hands. He drove for me and he drove for you. Nails drove in his feet for you and for me. But what about when he was hanging there? He's talking to his father and he knows he's fixing to turn his back on him. Why, preacher? Because God can't look on sin. A holy, just God. Folks, God ain't fair. Don't you ever let a preacher tell you God's fair. If God's fair, we all go to hell. That's fair. We're the sinners. He's the Savior. We all go to hell. If God's fair, we all go to hell. But he's not fair. He's just. He's just in what he does. He's just in what he does. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He's just in what he does. Not only did Jesus talked to his father when he was troubled about the cross. Listen to me, somebody. Listen to me. Not only was he troubled about the cross, not only was he thinking about the cross, Brother Kevin, he was thinking about it. I would ask you, how many times do you think about the cross? Just at Easter? Oh, man, how sad that is. Just Easter? Yesterday they handed out crosses at the Easter extravaganza. Man, that was wonderful. Hung that cross around our necks. But you got me. You got me. Sister Vicki, you got me. We went through rehearsal Thursday night and you handed us a cross and made us wrap it up. I said, well, what are they going to do with the cross? And then the real deal, you see, when it's pretend, Thursday night was pretend, it wasn't real. Would you agree it was pretend? Man, God showed me it was pretend. So we had to give the cross back to Sister Kim. She said, give them back. I got to have them for tomorrow. That was pretend. But yesterday it was a real deal. And they gave us the cross. And they said, now wear it. I said, ain't that real? When it's pretend, you won't wear it. You can't wear it when it's pretend. You can be all you want to be for Jesus. You can be the biggest Jesus person you know of. But when the rubber meets the road, will you stand up for him? See, it's different when it's pretend and it's the real deal. And we get to hang it around our neck and say, this is who I serve. Not only did he was troubled with the cross, not only did he think about the cross, not only was he tormented with the cross, he was tormented. He said, Father, Father, Father. Man, he was talking to, he said, what am I going to say? He said, Father. Not only was he tormented with the cross, but he took the cross. He took it. I'm asking you today, when was the last time you took up your cross and followed Jesus? You took up your cross. You took up what Jesus, you take it up. The hour, man, today may be your hour to take up the cross and follow Jesus Christ. Today may be your hour. It said he took it up. He took it up. What did it mean he took it up? He took up what God had demanded to be on his life, and he went to Calvary. Not only was he tormented with it, not only did he think about it, not only was he troubled about it, but he took it up. He said, it's my hour. I'm talking to somebody right now, you may be lost and never know Jesus. And today may be your hour to come to know Jesus. I want to give you this right here before we get to the point of closing. I want to share this with you. He took up that cross. He took it up for this cause. Look what he said here in verse number 27. Now, after he got to the place that he took it up, he said this, Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. He said, Father, this is the reason I'm here, is to go to the cross. Jesus took all that we were guilty of and nailed it to the cross. It might even been at this very hour Jesus is addressing someone about being born again, rededicating your life, or just plain old getting back to the old path. Just getting back to the old path. Whatever's going on in your hour right now, Jesus can take care of it. Why, preacher? Because Jesus got peace from his hour when he said, not my will, but thy will. Matthew 26, 42, the Bible says, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. Brother David, put this verse on. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. In that hour that he had to move, he addressed it with his followers. And he addressed it with his Father. This morning, you may have something to address with the Lord this morning. You may have something you need to talk to God about this morning. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That word takes two different meanings there. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Two meanings that word casting takes. The first meaning that come to your mind when it said casting all is you thought about a fishing pole probably. You thought about a net because Peter was a fisherman. You think about a net. You think about a fishing pole. I've seen preachers come in here with fishing poles. I've seen them come in here and preach on that verse where they take a fishing pole and they cast it. Only problem with that word and that way of casting is you're still attached to it. You still got a hold of it. You ain't let go of it. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The hour has come. And not only when he came to the Father, that's not the casting Jesus did when he said, Not my will, but thy will. You say, well, what casting did he do? Here's the casting that Jesus did. Take a rock, Brother Flippo. You'll take your boy to the water one day, and you're going to teach your boy something your daddy taught you that you thought was useless. But we didn't know how to play with kids. We didn't know what to do. We just done what we was taught. We said, pick up that rock and try to throw it and cast it across that water. See if it'll skip. I've never seen anybody take a rock, throw it across the water, and it come back. That's the casting he's talking about. When your hour has, when you're in the hour in your life and you're depressed and you're down and out and you don't know what to do and you think you're at your end, talk to the Father. Talk to the Father. And when you talk to the Father, don't cast it on him like with a fishing pole. You cast it over there, but you're still holding on to it and you still got it. And you don't know what to do with it. Do it like a rock. Lord, you said cast it on you. Here you go. You sling it over to him and you've got no hold on it anymore. Let me tell you where Jesus got peace, and I'm going to close with this, how he casted it all on the Father and how I've got peace in my life. You ever been in turmoil over something you just couldn't get peace on it? Me and Brady's done this and we have wrestled, not wrestled one another, she'd win, so we don't wrestle. You know what I'm saying? That girl don't play fair. She had me in the floor one time with her knee in my neck. She said, say uncle. I can't say nothing. I ain't got no air to say nothing. How you want me to say uncle and I can't even breathe? That's how I am with the Lord. Son, there's times he's got me down. You said, that ain't God we serve. Don't you kid yourself. When he's wanting you to do something, listen, any father is going to make his kids mine. He said, well, I live any way I want to. He don't do nothing. Well, you're a bastard. You're not one of his. That's what the Bible calls it. He's not your father. He's not your father. If your daddy lets you do anything you want to do, any way you want to do, and you've got no repercussion when you get home, he's not your father. Kaylee sent me a picture the other day, and I wouldn't to me. And she had a dress on for Easter. She asked her mama, said, how does this look? I had the phone. I sent back, we're going to church. Are you kidding me? Click. She called me. Called her mama. I called her back. I said, we're going to church. Are you kidding me? Daddy. I said, don't daddy me. You're not wearing that. You said, she's 21, got a job, do what she wants to. Yes, she can, but I'm still her daddy. I'm still her daddy. I'm still her father. I know what's best for her. If it's not for sale, quit acting like it is. Put you some clothes on. Cover it up. Quit acting like it's for sale. Son, and you say, you don't act correct. I've sent her home from mission trips because she's had on too short of shorts. I don't do that. A father takes care of his children. He treats them the way they should be treated. He loves them. That girl knows I love her. She went to work this morning in my car because her car didn't have no gas in it. You know what I'm going to do after church? I'm going to go fill her car up with gas. I love her, but I discipline her. Her boyfriend was with her friend. I'm sorry. He is a boy, though. Was with her. You know you was when she tried that dress on. I said, you ain't wearing that. You might as well go ahead. You just waste your money. You put it. I done got off track. But anyway, that's what a father does. That's what a father does. And look where he said, Father, not my will, but thy will. And here's where Jesus got peace. Here's where Jesus got peace. When he said, Father, not my will, but thy will. There's times I've wrestled over stuff. And I've went to followers. And I say, what do you think? And Kyler always says, yeah. I can say, Kyler, yeah. Yeah. He ain't going to tell me no. He ain't going to tell me no, because I got something that he wants. Hey, if he can't handle it, he shouldn't be up on the hill, amen? Jared Knight's little boy come in the other day, and we was going to ride four-wheelers. He asked Kyler, he said, do you live here? I said, that lets you know you've been here way too long if they want to know if you live here. But listen to me. Listen to me. Don't let me lose you right here. You know when you get peace? And you've battled something and you don't know what to do and you've asked the Lord and asked the Lord and you talk to the follower and the followers won't give you nothing that you need. Man, they can't give you nothing. And you go to the Father and you get down and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed. But finally something clicks. Something clicks. You say, not my will, but thy will. Father, not my will. Father, don't give me what I want. Give me what you want me to have.
And all of a sudden, all that pain, all that you've got going on in that hour, it becomes irrelevant. You can get up, dust yourself off. You still got the same problem, but you got peace. Jesus still had the cross to go to, but he had peace. Isaiah said that he was like a lamb led to the slaughter, sheep led to the slaughter, yet he opened not his mouth. No longer did he open his mouth. What'd he do? He set his focus on the cross, and he done what the Father called him to do. This morning, I want to be a church that sets our focus on the cross, and we do what the Father has called us to do. If you're warring with something, you're battling with something, and you need peace, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar, get on your knees with whatever you got going on, and you tell him, you say, not my will, but thy will. You may not have no peace because you're struggling against the Father. He's trying to push you this way, and you're wanting to do this. You say, not my will, but thy will. Father, I do love you, and I do thank you, and I praise you, and I glorify you. Father, right now, oh, glory, right now, Father. Father, right now, that one that has been struggling for so long, and they wandered in here this morning, and they're in an hour of their life, and they've done address the followers of Jesus, and they just can't get what they need. Now it's time to address the Father. Lord, we can learn so much from what Jesus said when he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Lord, at this church, I don't want my will. I don't want the deacon's will. I don't want nobody's will but your will. Lord, I want you to be the leader. I want you to be the one in charge. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for that one that is hurting and that is in pain and that needs help, that they come to an old-timey altar and they do business with an old-timey God. Father, you've not changed. You never have. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know how to protect the body, soul, and spirit. And Lord, today I pray we come with all boldness, saying not my will, but thy will. We ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said. I ask you to stand.